high on a cloud. The king and the queen, they laugh out loud. And the knights and the dragons, they don't wanna fight. They sit around the fire telling stories all night. The mermaids and the dolphins and the jellyfish too. They tell stories and bubbles that pop. The sun sets on the ocean, but they never stop saying, tell us a tale, tell us a tale. Tell us a tale, tell us a tale. Stories don't live in a storybook. They're all around us if we'd only look. Up in the air or down on the floor. Tales are for telling, so tell us one more, please. Tell us a tale. Tell us a tale. Tell us a tale. Tell us a tale. Tell us a tale, tell us a tale.
My name is Peter Jones.
And I'm Jen Hoffman.
And you're listening to Tell Us a Tale live from the Prism here in Charlottesville, Virginia. We are here with Nickeltown, a wonderful band here from the Central Virginia area who's filling in for the Jan Smith Band while they're off touring who knows where. And we are here to tell you some witch tales. And in fact, we're going to be telling you one from the Talmud, which is an ancient Jewish book of great lore. And it's called The Rabbi and the 29 Witches. It's retold by Marilyn Hirsch and published by Holiday House. And, you know, actually, we're going to need some help with this. We're going to need some help with some screams from the witches. You guys want to practice one scream? One, two, three. Excellent. Very good.
Once there was a little village where people were neither rich nor poor, good nor bad, wise nor foolish, except for the rabbi.
Of course.
Who was very, very wise.
Of course, I'm the rabbi after all.
In this little village, children went to school, cows gave milk, and grown-ups worked. It was a very normal village, except that under a nearby hill, in a deep, dark cave, there lived 29 of the meanest, scariest, ugliest, wickedest witches that ever were. There they lived, and there they stayed, brewing their evil potions and raising their evil bats and buzzards. They practiced zooming around on broomsticks and screeching their hideous screeches. They pulled the tails of their cats and bit each other out of sheer nastiness. They turned flowers into poisonous mushrooms, and they planted these mushrooms all around the cave. But once a month, when the moon was full, the witches came out of their caves, and they flew to the village and circled above it, shrieking and howling and laughing their terrible, terrible laughs. The cats yowled, the dogs yelped, the chickens laid cracked eggs, and the cows gave sour milk. The babies cried, and everybody else had terrible witchy nightmares. But if it was raining on the night of the full moon, the 29 witches did not come out at all. Now, the next time the moon was full and it was not raining, everyone came home early. They locked their doors and bolted their shutters. Some hid under the bed.
That's my place.
Others put pillows over their heads to drown out the creepy screeches. Well, people got born, grew up, and died without ever seeing the full moon. Finally, one old grandmother said,
"I want to see the full moon before I die. Is that too much to ask?"
"Well, considering the witches, it's quite a bit. Let's go to the rabbi.
Rabbi.
He'll know what to do. After all, he's the rabbi."
And so they did. The rabbi thought and thought about the problem. On the day before the next full moon, he reasoned like this.
"If there's no full moon, there are no witches. So there's no problem. But if there's a full moon, then there are witches, and that is a problem. But if it rains on the night of the full moon, there are no witches, and then there's no problem. But if it rains on the night of the full moon, there are no witches. Oh, that's it. I've got a splendid idea, and I can try it again tomorrow night. I think if the rain is still falling. You, quick, Grandma, come here."
"What do you want?"
"Have 29 of the bravest men in the village come to me tomorrow night. Each one of them, they gotta have a long white robe and a clay pot with a tight cover. Understand?"
"For you, Rabbi, I'll do anything."
"Yes, good, because I'm the rabbi after all."
On the next night, as the rain was coming down, he said,
"Now listen up. We are going to go get rid of those 29 witches once and for all. Put your robes carefully in the clay pots, and you gotta keep them nice and tight. For they gotta stay dry. Don't let them get wet."
Well, as brave as the men were, this was rather terrifying.
Yes.
But they trusted the rabbi, for after all, he was the rabbi.
Yeah, you gotta trust him.
In the pouring rain, they set out over the hills to the dark, dangerous witch's cave. Each one carried his pot with his dry white robe in it. By the time they got near the cave, even the bravest one was very, very scared. And some say that the rabbi looked a little worried, too. They hid under a ledge near the cave, and then the rabbi whispered,
"I will go in first, because after all, I am the rabbi. When I whistle once, you gotta put on your robes. When I whistle again, rush in, and each of you pick up a witch. Stop to dance with her. After that, just listen to me."
The rabbi put on his long, dry, white robe and his most frightening expression and went into the cave.
"Witches, witches, yo-ho, I'm coming in!"
"Who are you?"
I'm one of you, of course. What do you think I look like?"
"Well, you look like a witch, but how do you stay so dry?"
"Why, I walked between the raindrops, of course."
"What a trick! What a trick! Oh, come in! Come in, please, come in."
"Okay, I will."
Why have you come?"
"Why not? You show me some magic, and then maybe I show you some magic, and we all learn something. This is a good day, I think."
"Why not?"
"Oh, all right, I dare you to prepare a big feast for me."
And one witch waved her wand and bread appeared, and another brought wine out of the air, and another brought fruit, and soon there was a great table filled with plates and goblets and roasts and stews and cakes and cookies and soups and puddings and every other good thing that there is to eat.
"Oh, okay, let's eat now."
The rabbi almost forgot the reason he came.
"Oh, come on."
"Not so fast."
"What?"
"Now you show us some of your tricks."
"Oh, yeah, of course, I forgot. I'm sorry. For my first trick, I'm going to produce 29 handsome young men to dance with you at the banquet."
"That is quite a trick. That's a trick. Okay." "No one has asked me to dance in over 400 years."
"Oh, really? I never would have believed that. Maybe 5. Oh."
"Huh?"
The rabbi whistled once and waited for a minute. And he whistled again, and in rushed the brave men, and each grabbed a witch and started to whirl her around and around and around.
And now for my greatest trick of all. I'm gonna teach you how to dance between the raindrops. Everybody outside, let's do the horror.
And so the men picked up the witches and carried them off into the rain.
You tricked us!
The rabbi had figured out that witches must be afraid of rain for a very good reason. As the men watched in amazement, the witches became smaller and smaller and smaller until they completely shrank away into nothing.
Oy, it shouldn't happen to our worst enemies.
For it really, really was a very sad sight to see. But a good feast, it shouldn't be wasted.
You gotta eat. What are you gonna do?
So someone ran back to tell the people in the village that the witches were gone forever, and everyone came, and they danced, and they danced, and they ate, and they ate.
Where's the chair? We gotta dance some more.
And on the night when the moon was full, all the people in the village, from the oldest grandmother to the youngest baby, came out to look. The cool, soft light turned the rooftops to silver.
I've never seen such.
They all agreed that the full moon was very, very beautiful. And
like
when they had looked and looked for a long time, everybody felt sleepy. So they went back to the houses and got into their beds and went to sleep. And nobody had any nightmares again.
My name is Peter Jones.
And I'm Jen Hoffman.
And you are listening to Tell Us a Tale from the legendary Prism here in Charlottesville, Virginia.
Yeah.
We're here with our friends Nickeltown, a wonderful duo from the Central Virginia area who are filling in while our friends the Jan Smith Band are off touring somewhere, and we are here telling you witch tales from all over the world. And we're going to be telling you one now from Russia. Has anyone ever heard of Baba Yaga? Oh, a whole bunch of you. Baba Yaga is the evil witch that lives in Russia. So we're going to be telling you one called Matryoshka, retold by Becky Hickox Ayers, and that is published by Doubleday. Many years ago in the forest of Russia lived an old man with his granddaughter Kata. Sometimes Kata walked a long path to the town of Vyatka to trade grandfather's wooden spoons and bowls for food. One day in late autumn, as she was returning from such a trip, she saw a woman coming slowly down the path toward her.
"Please, dear, do you have any food to spare?"
When Kata gave her a loaf of bread and a piece of cheese, the woman handed her something in return.
"Here, for your kindness, take this wooden doll. I carved and painted her myself. Her name is Matryoshka."
And Kata tucked the doll into her apron and started out again. But darkness came early as storm clouds gathered. Large snowflakes began sifting through the canopy of fur, and soon the ground was covered and the air was thick. For several hours she struggled on as the wind grew wilder and colder, until at last she saw a faint light flickering through the trees. With the last of her strength, she forced her near-frozen feet to carry her even closer. It was a house, the strangest one that she had ever seen, for it stood on giant chicken legs and was surrounded by a high wooden fence. She stumbled through the open gate and knocked at the door. A tall, thin woman opened it.
"Come in, child, come in."
And with that, the old woman pulled Kata into the kitchen with her long, bony fingers.
"It is a lucky thing that you happened upon Baba Yaga's house. I am the only one who lives in this part of the woods. Warm yourself by the stove and drink some tea while I build a fire in the guest room."
As soon as the woman left, Kata heard a muffled little voice.
"Let me out! Let me out!"
She looked around but saw no one.
"Let me out!"
Finally, she realized that the voice came from her pocket. It was the wooden doll. Kata lifted Matryoshka from her apron, and the doll hopped close to the fire, holding out her tiny hands to the warmth.
"I was as cold as I could be. Now may I please have a little tea?"
Kata held the glass down to her, and the doll took dainty sips. But she jumped back into the apron pocket when Baba Yaga returned.
"There now, already. You must be very tired. Let me show you to your room."
And the old woman led Kata up the stairs and down several long halls to a small room where she fell into an exhausted sleep. When the bright sun woke her, Kata hurried to the door of her room to be on her way, but it wouldn't open.
"Help! Help me! Help!"
she called through the little window in the door. Soon Baba Yaga appeared, but instead of opening the door, she peered through the window and laughed.
"What, wanting to leave so soon? I'm afraid you can't. The ingredients for my magic spell are not quite ready. But don't worry, my dear. It won't take long. I do believe that you'll make a lovely goose for next Sunday's dinner."
Oh, no. She wants to eat me for dinner.
After Baba Yaga's face disappeared from the window, Kata pulled and tugged on the door, but it wouldn't budge.
"Let me try."
And with that, Kata lifted Matryoshka from her pocket.
How can you open the door if I can't? "Matryoshka, Matryoshka, I'm oh so small, but I'm just as handy as someone tall. Lift me up to see out of the door, and in a moment we may know more."
So Kata set the doll in the window of the door. Matryoshka leaned out, then hopped about in excitement.
"There is the latch holding the key. If I could reach it, I'd set us free. Here, I'll tie my scarf around you and lower you down."
And within moments, the door was open, and Kata stood in the hallway wondering which way to go. All the doors look just alike, and the first one that she opened screeched so loudly on its hinges that the dog in the yard started to bark.
If only you were a little bit smaller, you'd be able to roll under each door and find the way out.
Well, the doll just winked and said,
Matreshka, Matreshka, I'm oh so small, but not the smallest one of all.
And with that, Matreshka spun around three times, popped open for a moment, and out hopped another Matreshka doll, smaller than the first. She scurried down the hall, rolling under each door until she found the one to the stairs. Kata opened it very slowly, and they tiptoed down to the kitchen. The witch was not to be seen, and the door to the yard stood open. They crept to the fence, but there they found the gate locked tight with no key this time. Just then the dog barked again, and a Baba Yaga came running from the forest behind the house with a bunch of mushrooms.
Oh, Matreshkas, if only one of you were a little smaller, you could put your arms inside the keyhole and perhaps undo the lock.
And with this, the second Matreshka said,
Matreshka, Matreshka, I'm oh so small, but not the smallest one of all.
And she spun around three times, and out popped a third doll, smaller than the second. Kata lifted her up to the keyhole, and the third Matreshka had it open in just a moment. Kata scooped up the three dolls and ran into the woods, but the witch was soon close enough to the cast, a binding spell that made it impossible for Kata to run any farther. She watched helplessly as Baba Yaga laid a circle of magic rope all around her and the dolls.
There now, no one inside the magic circle can step over the rope, and only someone on the outside can move it. So I guess you'll stay put while I go back to get the things I need to turn you into a goose.
And Kata and the dolls tried for several minutes to step over the rope, but they couldn't.
Oh, Matreshkas, if only one of you were a little smaller, you could climb down this mouse hole and find a way to the other side.
The third Matreshka clapped her tiny hands and said,
Matreshka, Matreshka, I'm oh so small, but not the smallest one of all.
And she spun around, opened up, and out hopped an even smaller doll. This fourth Matreshka crawled into the hole. Although she went as fast as she could, they could hear Baba Yaga returning by the time the doll had appeared at the other end of the burrow just beyond the magic circle. She quickly opened the circle of rope, but before Kata could go three steps, Baba Yaga's magic once again brought her to a stop. Now the witch was in a rage.
You miserable child. I'll not wait for Sunday. I'll have you for dinner tonight.
And just as Baba Yaga started chanting her magic spell, Kata saw the fourth Matreshka moving her lips and spinning.
Matreshka, Matreshka, I'm oh so small, but we need the smallest one of all.
The last Matreshka was no taller than a thumbnail. She scrambled up Baba Yaga's dress, perched in her ear, and began whispering. Well, this confused the witch, and she kept muddling the words of her spell.
Chinkita, Pinkita, magic juice, I now turn Taka into a goose.
But of course, since Baba Yaga had said the name wrong, Kata did not turn into a goose. Baba Yaga's temper increased. She stamped her foot and tried again.
Henry, Penry, whirl and twirl, I now turn Kata into a girl.
Well, this didn't work either. By now, Baba Yaga was red all over. She screamed the next spell with the smallest Matreshka still whispering in her ear.
Floppity, moppity, grin and grog, Baba Yaga is now a frog.
This time the spell did work. As all the Matreshkas hopped back together and into Kata's pocket, a very angry frog bounded away. Later that day, Kata found the path leading back to her grandfather's cottage. From that time on, she spent many happy hours playing with the little wooden dolls. And although Kata never again got lost in the forest, she always carried Matreshka in her pocket just in case she ran into a frog named Baba Yaga.
Well, Tell Us a Tale would like our young friend by the name of Emma to recite her poem for you now. And Peter and I heard some wonderful original poems earlier in the month about witches. So let's give Emma a warm welcome as she tells us her poem.
As the witch went by, she started to fly. Then she slid in. Here's what she did. She hit her cat in the nose as her broomstick rose. Then she flew off into the night, giving me an awful fright.
We're going to close out this half hour of Tell Us a Tale Now, live from the legendary Prism, with a tune from Nickeltown. Nickeltown is Browning Porter on lead vocal and Jeff Romano on the guitar, and they've actually got a great album out there called Presto Changeo. You can find out more about Nickeltown at nickeltown.com, more about, of course, the incredible Prism at theprism.org, and of course Tell Us a Tale at tellusatale.com. They're going to be doing a tune from Shel Silverstein called Marie Laveau.
This is an old song by Shel Silverstein and a man named Baxter Taylor, and it's about Marie Laveau, who's a voodoo lady who lives down in Louisiana. Down in Louisiana, where the black trees grow, they got the voodoo lady named Marie Laveau. She got the black cat tooth and the mojo bone, and if somebody would never leave her alone, she'd go another man's ungone. She live in the swamp in a hollow log with a three-legged lizard and the one-eyed dog. She got the bent bony body and the stringy hair. If somebody catch you or mess around there, she go, wee-ow! Another man's ungone. And then one night when the moon was black, into the swamp comes Handsome Jack. He's a bad old cat that you all know, and he was looking around for Marie Laveau. He said, Marie Laveau, you pretty little witch, give me a little spell that's gonna make me rich. He said, give me $1,000,000 and I'll tell you what I'll do. This very night I'm gonna marry you, and it'll be meow, another man's ungone. Well, Marie did some magic and she shook a little sand. She made $1,000,000 and she put it in his hand. Then she giggled and she wiggled and she said, hey, hey, I'm getting ready for my wedding day. But old Handsome Jack, he said, goodbye, Marie. You're way too ugly for a rich man like me. And Marie started grumbling, her eyes started flashing, her body started shaking, and her teeth started gnashing. She went, another man's ungone. So if you ever get down to where the black trees grow, you meet the voodoo lady named Marie Laveau. If she gets the notion for to be your wife, man, you better stay with her for the rest of your life, or it'll be another man's ungone.
Thank you.
Campus Community Radio Station, CJSF, 90.1 FM, Burnaby, BC.
You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Burnaby.
This is Kelly from the Peak Publication Society, SFU student-led newspaper. Recently, news organizations have been facing issues sharing news content. All news outlets, including small publications like us, have been affected due to Meta's refusal to comply with the Online News Act and compensate news companies. We have been serving our diverse student community for years and need your support to continue. If you'd like to contribute as a paid writer, illustrator, or photographer, follow us on Instagram at @thepeak@sfu. Keep reading our stories at the-peak.ca. If Meta is listening, we're just a community promoting SFU events. Please don't block us again.